Exposing and Opposing Slavery Today. As part of the Reformation Society and Henry Morton Stanley School of Christian Journalism, we wanted to look at slavery today and what we can do to set the captives free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's remarkable how much discussion, debate, and media attention is given to the old slavery, which was exposed and opposed by Christians such as Member of Parliament William Wilberforce over 200 years ago. There was a war to end slavery. In fact, the Royal Navy spent most of the 19th century fighting that, and we had a hand in getting this book out, Royal Navy versus the Slave Trade. Absolutely extraordinary achievement of any nation putting so much of their energy and effort and funds into ending the slave trade worldwide. But that ended a long time ago. There's a lot of research that's gone into slavery that normally doesn't make the headlines, and they've made no films of, but Christian slaves, Muslim masters, 1.1 million Christian Europeans were kidnapped between 1500 and 1800 from Europe, taken to North Africa by the Barbary pirates, Muslim pirates. Virtually every harbor, palace, and major building in the whole of North Africa was built by white Western Christian slaves. Then, of course, there's the white slaves' African masters story. There's the black slave owners in South Carolina who outnumbered the white slave owners. Free black slave owners who owned other slaves. White cargo, the forgotten history of Britain's white slaves in America, who were mostly Irish people. They shipped them over and used them as slaves there. White slavery in the Barbary States. Giles Milton's written a book on white gold, which is what they called the white slaves. In fact, the very word slave, the etymology of the word slave, comes from the Slavs, people of Eastern Europe. Bulgarians, Russians, they Slavs. And the term slave used amongst the Romans was from the Slavs. The Slav people were their hunting grounds for slaves. And it's interesting how little attention is given to the much worse, much greater in terms of numbers enslaved by the Muslim slave trade, as exposed and opposed by Dr. David Livingstone in the 19th century. But it is scandalous how little attention or concern is given to ongoing slave trade today. Absolutely outrageous. Slavery in Sudan, slavery in Mauritania, slavery all over the Middle East and Asia. Here, slavery in China. Slavery of making bricks in India, children, human trafficking, human misery, the global trade in human beings. Human trafficking is modern-day slavery, and yet you get people who want to do everything they can to fight the slavery that ended 200 years ago, but they don't want to do anything about the slavery that's ongoing, a real threat today. Most outrageous is the virtual silence over the very worst slavery in history, which is prevalent and pervasive throughout the world to this day. Human trafficking and sexual slavery. This is worse, and it includes more people than even the slave trade at the time when William Wilberforce was fighting. Now, the abolition of slavery was a fruit of Christianity. However, those who believe that the days of slavery are over are sadly mistaken. As Christians have retreated from social and political arenas, and as nations which once were considered Christian, now move into what they term the post-Christian era, we're seeing a resurgence of all those evils, all the evils that was fought before. Just take the fact that they need to have adverts like this for honor-killing victims. Is your family threatening you? LeaveIslamSafely.com. And tears pictures of girls who were murdered by their own family for having Western hairstyles, Western boyfriends, or whatever, maybe even converting to Christ in some cases. Yet we're not seeing the Church of Christ awakened yet. We haven't seen the Church mobilized like it was in the 19th century to fight slavery. We don't see the Church today opposing the prevalent and pervasive evils of prostitution, perversion, and pedophilia. These are the three P's that dominate the slave trade of today. Those who reject Christianity will in time embrace all of the vices outlawed by Christianity, even the terminal stage of any civilization when they adopt perversion or the homosexual, gay, GB, LGBTQRS lifestyle. That's the terminal stage. And now you see even ministers and denominations adopting it. That's pretty terminal stage of any civilization and denomination. We're also seeing in this apostate age a resurgence of legalized child killing through abortion, worse than anything in the days of Baal and Asherah and Kronos. We're even seeing so-called ministers, in this case Methodist ministers, so-called, blessing abortion clinics and saying, praise God for abortion. In the abortion matrix, we get an expose of how many of the abortion clinics are actually run by satanic covens. And they document it. If you haven't seen this film, excellent documentary, Abortion Matrix, where he shows that literally the same people who run the local coven, from the high priestess all the way down, are the people running the local abortion clinic. And had testimonies from people who've been converted out of those backgrounds, how they saw it as sacrificing the most innocent blood of all. And one of the girls was testifying of how she, her job was to get pregnant and give birth to a baby that would then be sacrificed and killed as part of the satanic coven. And the whole family, mother, grandmother, all worked in a local abortion clinic. Nothing more exciting for a Satanist than killing babies. Then you get the killing of the aged and infirm through euthanasia. You might recall the Lions of Tsavo, the man-eating Lions of Tsavo, which inspired the film Ghost in the Darkness. This, in fact, when you read Colonel John Patterson's book, The Man-Eaters of Tsavo, which I have read, first of all, you realize that he was not the heathen portrayed in the film. He is actually a God-fearing Church of England minister, a brother of a minister. His brother was a minister in Church of England. He was a Bible-reading evangelical, although in a film they make him out into some atheist. But then the film Zulu did that to Lieutenant Chard too, who was also a God-fearing Christian, but they turned him into an atheist for the film. Typical Hollywood nonsense. But the whole man-eating Lions of Tsavo began through euthanasia. The local tribes didn't care for the old and infirm. They put them out by the river to be eaten by the crocodiles, and the local lions developed a taste for humans. The Lions of Tsavo were a judgment of God upon a euthanasia-practicing culture. And by the way, it's an interesting point that Colonel Patterson notes. No Christians were killed by those lions. Those lions only killed Muslims, Hindus, and witchcraft adherents. The Christians weren't killed. Although in the movie, they made sure a Bible-believing Christian was one of the ones killed, which, in fact, Colonel Patterson said never happened. Today, we have returned to killing of aged and infirm through euthanasia, and the legalization of adultery and polygamy, and the legalization of perversion and prostitution, and a massive resurgence of pedophilia and human trafficking, or should we just call it by its correct name, slavery. Taken, Whistleblower, Nefarious, and Trade of Innocence are just some films that document this, and we've got these in our library and bookshop too. The film Taken exposes the shocking kidnapping, human trafficking, and slavery that's going on at this very time. Here, the scene, two girls, one 17, the other 18, arriving in Paris for the first time, and a friendly young Pierre offers to take a picture, and he offers to share taxi. He notes where they stay, finds out who's there, and brings the human traffickers to come and kidnap them later. The father's got to get them back. But in through this medium, this drama, they introduce you to different elements of this human trafficking, kidnapping industry. Nefarious, Merchant of Souls, is a shocking, made in 2011 documentary made by Exodus Cry. It's a Christian documentary of slavery today and the human trafficking industry. But most importantly, it gives practical examples of how to fight it. It's well worth watching. It goes from Thailand through to the red light districts of Amsterdam and shows you what's really going on behind the scenes. How Cambodian and Thai families groom their daughters and sons in some cases to be prostitutes. And that the families sell them literally at age 4, 5, and 6. And that it's the parents running this industry in many cases. Uncles and grandparents using them and selling them, that the entire Cambodian and Thai culture is rotted through to the core with child abuse as a key part of their finances. So Exodus Cry explains how this works. You get children abducted, You get them caged, you get forced prostitution, you get forced labor, you get forced marriage, especially in Islam. Organ theft. Yep. Need a kidney, no problem. They whip one out of somebody, and of course they don't sew them back up again or let them recover. That's not necessary. They sell babies, sometimes for baby parts and whatever it is. There's forced child beggars. When I went to Albania and I saw some poor child crippled on the ground and wanting to give, immediately a Christian told me, no! Said, these are gypsies. They deform their kids, they break their arms, they cut off this, that, and the other to make them more pitiful beggars so that they can beg. You can't support this sort of thing. And in India, Bill Bathman said, there's whole classes who that's all they do is beg. And they will mangle, mutilate their kids in order to make them more pitiful beggars to be able to raise money for the family. So forced begging. I was sitting on my motorbike at the campground road traffic lights, and I saw a child beggar being grabbed by the neck by some older boy, dragging him along, literally holding him upside down by his feet, shaking him, money falling out of his pockets and so on, clapping him over the head, kicking him and so on. He was a kid that we saw that often begging, and this must have been his controller. I've seen somebody at this very same traffic light down here on crutches, getting to the side, putting his crutch down and letting down his leg, rubbing the thing, because he'd had this strapped up there. I'm sure you've all seen blind beggars checking their cell phone messages and texting and lifting up the glass and counting the money in the hat. There's a lot of lies, theft and deception going on amongst the child beggars. Then you get the trafficking boats, especially these ones taking them to Europe. Do you know how much money they've got to pay to get a place in those boats? Sometimes they're put in some basement of some cargo ship, don't see the sun the whole way through. It's slavery on the worst order. It makes the old trafficking look good in comparison to what they're doing now. There's different recruitment methods. By meeting the needs for food, clothing, and shelter, promising love, romance, and acceptance, this is very common. The amount of girls who get some proposal by someone who's a sheikh, who's millionaire, billionaire in the Middle East, this, that, and the other, and get there and find he's got a whole lot of other wives already, and you get beaten. And this happens frequently. The amount of romance, recruitment, bring them in, next thing they're a slave, and they're thrown to the local harem. Offers of independence, luxury items, cash, sometimes just cell phones and whatever it is. Exploiting positions of authority, flattery, lies, manipulation, huge amount, exploiting vulnerability. Do you know, one of the prime recruiting places for child abuse and for human trafficking now in America is foster homes. And throughout the Asia, it's orphanages. Orphanages and foster homes are a primary recruiting area, we learn from latest research, for these forced prostitution rings. Trade of innocence, I have not seen it yet, but Mira Sorvino is known as a Christian. She's a fine actress, and she is part of this film, and this apparently is a Christian film, gets a good write-up for Movie Guide. I only just noticed this in research last night, but we've got it in our library and in our bookshop, I believe, even though I've never had the chance yet. But this is a story, as I said, with a lot of heart, exposing the problem, but with a tremendous emotional punch and effectiveness. Human trafficking, in this case in Asia. Now, notice this title, Uncovering, or UN Covering, Human Trafficking. What could he mean by UN Covering? Well, you've got the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. They're meant to fight it, but they actually facilitate it. You've got International Organization for Migration. They do a lot of slave trafficking. You get UNICEF, United Nations Children's Fund, which, yep, as you can imagine, they groom kids for the whole pimp rings as well. And you get the International Labour Organization, which is involved in, it's meant to be protecting labour, but in fact you find the people involved are involved in human trafficking too. Evidence. The Whistleblower film is based on the true story of a policewoman, Catherine Bolkovac, from Nebraska in the United States, who went to Bosnia as a policewoman to protect women. And she exposed the United Nations organization's involvement in human trafficking and slavery today. It's a staggering book and film. It's real. It's not some fiction drama cooked up in somebody's imagination. This woman now lives under police protection, under a changed name, under witness protection in England. She can't return to her home country in America because the British courts are convinced she'll be murdered by the United Nations and their people for having blown the whistle on what they're doing. What's the story? She went out thinking she would actually be protecting people. And while a policewoman in Bosnia, she rescued two girls from Moldova. Moldova's meant to have something like 50% of their young girls trafficked. It's one of the worst out there. Grandparents are involved in trafficking their own kids for money. It's disgusting. She rescued two of these girls who were being used as prostitutes, sex slaves in Bosnia, and put them into the witness protection program, armored cars and all the rest. And before you knew it, the UN took them out and handed them back to the pimps who tortured them to death. She complains, of course, all the way up to the mission head, who threatens her life, fires her and all the rest. She goes up to the General Secretary of the United Nations. That's the highest you can go in the United Nations. She gets more death threats from his side and so on. She has to flee to Britain. She can't return to America. Her life's forfeit for having been a whistleblower in the United Nations. Not just that the UN was covering up for it, but the UN was actually running the human trafficking in Bosnia. Well, can anyone identify where the quote comes from? You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. Where did that quote come from? The first of the Star Wars. And that's being referred to by, well, in fact, it's more appropriate for the UN. You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. Who are the UN? They're the largest collection of unelected dictators, mass murderers, persecutors of the church, drug dealers, human traffickers, slave traders. They're a bunch of terrorist mass murderers and criminals. So why are we surprised that they would be running and protecting slave traders? Which is why we've got a poster like this. This is a UN-free zone. Most member states of the United Nations are implicated in human trafficking. Who are the 50 worst persecutors of Christians? Well, don't worry. These chaps are on the UN Security Council. They're on the United Nations Human Rights Commission. These are the people running. Do you know, I think, was it at one stage, Sudan, the Sudan government, the ones who are bombing churches, torturing Christians, they were the chairman of the Human Rights Commission of the UN. I think China was another time. North Korea was another time. These are just the 50 worst. Most of these flags represent gangsters, not countries. They're gangsters with flags. Now take, for example, a Ferguson Black Lives Matter leader who spoke at the United Nations arrested for human trafficking for pimping a 17-year-old child. That's typical. That's Charles Wade. Here's the Global Slavery Index of 2013. The biggest amount of slaves in India, second largest China, third largest Pakistan, fourth Nigeria. And, of course, these are all highly respected countries in the UN with very responsible positions there. This is a few years ago. This is also 2013 when we only had 30 million people living in slavery across the world. And here they're showing, as you can see here, they estimate far more in India and then China and so on. Of course, Congo, Ethiopia, Benin, Moldova is small, but it's mentioned because they're a major human trafficking. Why so much human trafficking from Moldova? Well, a communist killed so many of the parents, and many of the parents went to get jobs overseas, and there was a lot of children without anyone to care for them. And so modern slavery, these are some statistics from Walk Free Foundation, again showing India, China, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Uzbekistan, all the way down to Egypt. Here's another chart from Global Slavery Index 2013. At that stage, we were talking about 29.8 million slaves in the world. One in every 236 people in the world trapped in real slavery. I think the real statistics vastly more. But Free the Slaves now calculates there are over 40 million slaves in the world today. So the red is very high number of people, origin of people trafficked. And then there is the blue, and those are countries of destination of human trafficked people. We found that there were Russian girls being used in brothels in Cape Town, such as Mavericks. Why would they bring Russians to Cape Town? That they don't speak the language. They can't ask for help. They're helpless. They don't know the local language. So taking people to a place, take them away from the home base where there's no family or friends, neighbors to go to for help. Put them in a place where they don't speak the language. You've got control. Take away their passport. Tell them if they go to the police, they're going to get arrested for being there illegally. And then all these promises of modeling careers, acting careers, whatever it might have been, suddenly they found, nope, it's nothing like that. Drugged, raped, beaten, etc. Addicted to drugs. And they won't get sleep and they won't get any food unless they meet their quota. X amount of men or money and so on. And then what the money they make gets immediately confiscated because they need to pay back for the airfare. They've got to pay back for this and that. And then there's accommodation and then you've got to pay. And it basically works out that they get nothing. And then just to get the drugs and food they want, they have to bring in more and more, and it's never enough. This is how it works. Well, according to this statistic, 45.8 million are in slavery today globally. And again, India, China, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Uzbekistan, the five worst in terms of numbers. And then the highest proportion of population modern slavery listed down here. Sadly, South Sudan's on the list. Shockingly. Now, just to put a face and a name. Here's Nguyen Thai, 15-year-old. She was bought February 2011, had to work for a brothel in Ho Chi Minh City. I was sold, I was used, now I am trashed. That's what they do. They destroy people, destroy their hopes. According to Free the Slaves, 161 UN member states are engaged in human trafficking today. 161. Now, there's only about 212 countries officially members of the United Nations. So 161, that's more than two-thirds. In fact, that's pretty close to three-quarters. That's three-quarters of the UN are human traffickers, of the governments. Sorry, the gangsters with flags. 26% of the world's enslaved population are children. The top three, India, China, Pakistan, or should we say the bottom, 78% of the slaves worldwide are forced labor in industries. So this is how they calculate it. Slavery generates $150 billion a year. That's billion with a B. US dollars, not Zim dollars. 50% in labor, 37% forced marriage slavery. Very popular in the Muslim world. 12.5% of the slave victims today are in the sex industry or prostitution, pimped. 25% of all the slaves are under the age of 18. And here you can get more of the statistics, and it's absolutely staggering, especially when I think of the amount of people. And by the way, 20% of those involved in prostitution of the children are boys. It's not just girls. Of course, the LGBTQRS gay GB bunch are increasing their perversions, and so there are boys being trafficked increasingly for this too. This is a modern day business. $150 billion a year, they say, in profits. So it's actually more in terms of actual money being transacted. And here you can see they're talking about in Africa, 3.7 million victims. In the Middle East, 600,000. In Asia, 11.7 million. Asia is definitely the hub. This is where most of the prostitution happens. Have you heard of how there's sex tourism to places like Cambodia and Thailand? If you wondered why a tsunami hit Thailand so hard, well, that it hit the very places where that was the worst abusers. 25% of today's slaves are children. They say 50% of the trafficked victims and speaking about each year's traffic victims are now less than 16. One of the world's largest sectors of crime. It comes just under gun running and drug running. I think drugs are number one, guns are number two. But in this one, I don't think they've included the pharmaceuticals, because then that would be a lot higher. The average age of being forced into prostitution in the USA is 13 to 14 years. 13 to 14 years. That's according to U.S. Department of Justice. So here's some of the stats. Worldwide, they say 4.5 million people are involved in forced prostitution, sex industry as it's called. 16.4 million are involved in forced labor. According to the State Department, 17,500 foreign nationals are trafficked into the USA every year, specifically to serve as prostitution dens, and they document nefarious. This includes in Las Vegas, the drug gambling capital. Additionally, there's 100,000 U.S. citizen children who haven't crossed any borders, who trafficked in, but they're taken to other states. And they're saying now the average of those coming in from the outside are 12 to 14 years old, and the average internal are 11 to 13 years old. And then they say there's also those runaways. They say that they get runaways and they get throwaways. They get put into it because a runaway, who's going to miss them? And here they show from which countries around the world. Notice from South Africa even into America. This is where the human trafficking, primarily for sexual perversion, meaning pedophilia industries. There are books of people who have documented these cases. Stolen, the true story of a sex trafficking survivor. Trafficked, what's one girl's life worth on the black market? The true story of Canadian human trafficking. Trafficked, a British girl miles from home, the man who said he loved her but sold her on the streets. Absolutely replicated tens of thousands of times every year by Muslims in particular. Enslaved, true stories of modern day slavery. And Somebody's Daughter, hidden story of America's prostitute children, the battle to save them. Emma's just done analysis of a whole lot of research that came from Don McIlvaney on this, and that's going to be out soon, and it's very staggering. Here you can see South Africa's one of the recruiting places for pimps servicing the US market. Staggeringly. Although the Old Testament did provide for slavery for criminals and insolvent debtors, people who weren't paying their debts, kidnapping and enslaving law-abiding people incurred the death penalty. Anyone who kidnaps another or either sells him or still has him when he's caught must be put to death. It is a death penalty offense, Exodus 21, verse 16, to kidnap anyone. Rape's also a death penalty. The New Testament expressly forbids both the slave trade and slavery itself. The law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers. And to be honest, they all go together. The slave traders are perverts, they're adulterers, they're murderers, and they're perjurers. If it goes together, it's a total package deal, the entire industry. Just take from Britain. Worst ever child abuse scandal exposed. Hundreds of young girls raped, beaten, sold for sex, some even killed. Over 40 years has happened, and the authorities failed to act for 40 years. Horrific betrayal of 1,400 children. Now, they're just talking about one area. Was this Rotherham? Not a very big town. I didn't even know of its existence before the scandal. Asian gangs. Oh, notice, not Muslim, the Asian gangs. Asian gangs' appalling sexual abuse of young girls lasted 16 years. This is in this one town. Because people in authority were scared of being labeled racist if they tackled it. So Muslim girls, Muslim men were raping Christian British girls, complaining about it, and everyone from the local social worker through to the police and Scotland Yard wouldn't deal with it because they didn't want to be called racist. A nation's shame. 9 men are found guilty of sex grooming crimes against vulnerable young girls after trial that exposed the shocking scandal in Britain's children's homes. Again, the children's homes, foster homes, orphanages, the worst offenders. the forgotten victims, some of the victims and some of the culprits on this particular article here. Can you imagine you run to the police or you run to the social worker for help and they won't help you because it's Muslims doing it and, gee, somebody might call me racist or Islamophobe if I did do something about this. Betrayed by the PC, PC standing for politically correct cowards. Damning report reveals 1,400 girls abused by sex gangs, Muslim sex gangs. Social workers and police feared racism claims, so did nothing. Not a single person faced the sack. That's a British term for getting fired. The social workers and policemen run up to police chiefs who did nothing. How are they not, forget about being sacked, they should be imprisoned. This is beyond criminal negligence. This is complicity. Horrific betrayal. New arrest made in second Rochdale sex grooming. Asian sex monsters. Conspiracy of silence on UK sex gangs. And this is a big, in fact, traveling through England over the years, I've seen these newspaper headlines many a time, just passing through Heathrow Airport, picking up the newspapers and staggering. By the way, in Britain, the newspapers are fairly conservative. The TV is hopelessly liberal. So you tend to get a bit more reality in the newspapers, unlike our country. Revealed conspiracy of silence on UK sex gangs. That's from the Times of London. Times of London is very subdued, extremely restrained in how they phrase things. 9 guilty of grooming white girls of 13 for sex. A nation's shame. 77 years for sex beasts. And here are some of these creeps. What were they even doing in the country? Well, they were living on welfare, of course. After everything that's happened in Rotherham, how could the police let it happen here? Street volunteers give cops 150-page abuse file. Victims fear at delay in probing pedo fears. New child grooming scandals. This is England. And here's the Telford gang. And these were jailed for abusing girls. Again, I'm asking, why are they even in the country? Then this is 13 Somali pimps arrested for running a prostitution ring in England. What were they doing in a country? Well, running a prostitution ring, of course. And would you believe it took them 40 years to do something about these gangs? But Tommy Robertson, who was just doing the job of a journalist, he was taking what's in the public domain, what was said in the court, what the judge had said, what was said by the prosecution defense, in reporting this outside the courtrooms, only what was public information. He wasn't telling anything that was speculation. He even used the words alleged rapist and things like this. He gets arrested, imprisoned, and put in the deepest, darkest prison in all of Britain in 24 hours. Arrested, tried, sentenced, imprisoned in under 24 hours. What was his crime? For exposing what was going on and just using what's in the public domain, but what the BBC wouldn't report, letting the people know how many years has been going on and what the judge was saying about the local police's failures and so on and so forth. They arrest Tommy Robertson for just doing journalism, convicted of journalism. They put him in a prison where most of the people in the prison were Muslims. And they put his cell right next to the mosque where everyone was gathering. They'd be walking past, spitting on him, threatening his life. This is a man who had done nothing except expose it. He gets arrested. Tommy Robertson. And he's now seeking asylum in America because his life's at risk in Britain. Police probe 3 more sex gangs. But don't worry, you can get a creepy cupcake for every reader. This is a Halloween thing. So you can see what's happening with the news where you're more concerned, more important to get a creepy cupcake for Halloween than caring about these scandals. It says something about the culture. So what's the cost of a slave today? $90 on average. Now in 1809, if you adjust to today's values, a slave purchased in 1809, 200 years ago, would have been about $40,000. Serious investment, cost a lot. You'd want to look after them. They're major, it's like buying a tractor or something like that. Really important, you want to maintain your equipment to work. And so a slave used to be better treated when he cost so much. But slaves of $90, what does that mean? If they get sick or injured, you just simply kill them or ban them. Drop them overboard, whatever. Give them concrete socks and let them go swimming in the harbor. That's the way they deal with it. Cheap, today, slaves are cheap, disposable, and easily replaced. Now, we've also documented in Faith Under Fire in Sudan and in the slavery, terrorism, Islam, and Sudan, the Hidden Holocaust film, the ongoing Islamic slavery in Sudan. Anti-slavery organizations have documented the prevalence of slavery today in Mauritania, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, and other Middle Eastern countries in particular. Minder Nazir published her autobiography, Slave, My True Story. This came out in 2003. She was kidnapped in 1992. If I'm not mistaken, she was 13 at the time. She was first a slave to a rich Arab family in Khartoum. She is then sold to a Sudanese diplomat who had the audacity to take his slaves with him to London. Well, she knew that slavery is illegal in England. It's a Christian country. So she fled, sought political asylum, actually got it. Obviously helps if you're black. Because if she was a white slave, she probably would have gotten no help and be sent away by the police. But she at least got diplomatic immunity, political asylum. She published this expose in 2003, Slave, My True Story. I think it's been followed up by a new book called Freed. That's very up to date. Numerous communist countries like Red China and North Korea also make use of huge slave labor camps to produce cheap items for export, including Disney toys and McDonald's toys. And the reason why virtually everything in the toy shops here and everything in Disneyland and everything in McDonald's is made by slave labor in China, because who can beat the cost of slave labor? And Nike, apparently, in fact, I've seen a picture of where there's a communist guard standing over with a big a baton saying, just do it. Which is, yes, Nike can undercut its rivals because it's getting slave labor to produce its shoes in slave shops in China, amongst other places. And many of these are actually in prisons, concentration camps, where many millions of the people in these concentration camps are Christians. And so probably a lot of the Chinese goods that we buy, which includes American flags, and so on, they're all made in China, and virtually everything good in Disneyland, they're made by probably Christian slaves. And this is normal now. Now, do you know back in the 1800s and 1700s, Christians like William Wilberforce and William Carey would not have sugar. They'd never take sugar because sugar at that time was only produced with slave labor in Caribbean in particular, Haiti, Jamaica, Cuba. And so they would refuse sugar on principle. And today their people will refuse anything made in China on the same kind of principle. But think how many liberals there are out there who damn to hell the people of the 18th and 19th century who opposed slavery and who ended it, by the way. But they don't feel any guilt about the fact that they're using products made by slave labor today. Enormous amount, huge amounts. These people are slaves in what they call the sweatshops of Asia, is a nice way of putting it. So are you involved in slavery? Slave labor produces goods we use every day. Sugar from the Dominican Republic, chocolate from the Ivory Coast, paper clips from China, carpets from Nepal, cigarettes from India are overwhelmingly made with slave labor. Well, you can't talk about slavery today without talking about Hollywood. The Harvey Weinstein sexual abuse, which some called Hollywood Gate, and the Jeffrey Epstein child abuse scandals are highlighting how pervasive pedophilia and sexual abuse are in the entertainment industry. And it's not too much to call it slavery. This Harvey Weinstein is the character who funded and produced virtually every major film that you can think of that the left love. Like Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. First thing you see on the screen is a Weinstein production. Harvey Weinstein's produced everything he can to defile the world. He's a sick, sordid, pedophile, rapist, cocaine-sniffing, drug addict, evil man. And these are some of the actresses who claimed they were sexually abused by Harvey Weinstein and kept quiet about it in order to allow their careers to advance, because otherwise they would have been out of Hollywood. These are some pretty well-known people. Ashley Judd and Gwyneth Paltrow and so on. Some of the victims who've come forward, what they call the Me Too movement. And then even more came forward. These are famous actresses in Hollywood. All claim we were abused by Harvey Weinstein. But mind you, it's not like it was a secret, because you can go and see some of the videos where people would make jokes on the Academy Awards stage, saying, you know, now that she's won an Oscar, she doesn't have to continue pretending that she likes Harvey Weinstein. And everyone would laugh. Meryl Streep made that comment. So they all knew this guy is a lecherous, low-life scumbag, and yet they continue to applaud him and let him finance the things and so on. And now he must have gone a step too far, and now the people are coming out. And it's not just Harvey Weinstein. It's all these characters, too. There's others claiming that these creeps in Hollywood were abusing them, too, in order to stay in the film, stay in the film industry and so on, and being threatened, you'll never work another day in Hollywood if you don't do this, that, and the other. And so somebody pointed out that Obama seems to have a sexual predator award, because these are all proven pervert, sexual predator, low-life rapist scum, and they all got a special award. So this must be the pedo award from old Obama. But then again, he got a Nobel Peace Prize for 14,000 drone attacks, which killed tens of thousands more civilians who had nothing to do with it than actual terrorists they were targeting in 8 different countries, which is 4 more than President Bush fought against, and yet President Bush is accused of being a warmonger, and Barack Hussein Obama is praised for being a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Then you get Bill Cosby. Now, I remember the Bill Cosby show being good, clean, fun, although somewhere along the line, as I was converted, I start to think, wait a minute, this guy's a total secular humanist. Everything is, without any reference to God or the Bible or prayer, it's just, he is just so clever, so smart, and they've got this intact family, and it's just that, you know, he was on top of it, and they could keep it all together without God, or without prayer, and without Jesus, and without the Bible. But would you believe it, even this icon of TV has been found to be assaulting women for decades. Scandal, murder, greed, and lust. Indeed. And these were just some of the women who claimed to have been raped by this icon of the left, Bill Cosby. And these are just some of the people who are speaking about all the sexual assault from this extremely perverted individual. And so he's finally been arrested, and some people have come and erased Bill Cosby from the Walk of Fame in Hollywood Boulevard. Now they've put serial rapists down there, which is quite true. Now, how many of you like Steven Spielberg movies? Well, Steven Spielberg is also accused of being a pedophile serial rapist. I don't know if you know about Heather Rourke. Heather O'Rourke, I believe, was the child star discovered by Steven Spielberg for The Poltergeist. I never bothered to see the film, didn't even see the trailer, but apparently it's so much more scary when you've got a cute little girl who's getting demon-possessed, and that's, I think, the whole essence of the film. Well, she died at age 12. Now, this was at an era that everyone knew, and in fact, they're talking about, and there's whole documentaries on it, on how in Hollywood, if you wanted to get your mediocre script, film, whatever, going, you just had to put a whole lot of young stars, actors in it, and they had to prove it, because they were sexually abusing these kids all day, every day, consistently. Now, the nice man in a suit came, gave the parents a whole lot of money, took the kid away, and they were raped repeatedly. And this poor little girl, Heather Rourke, okay, here's the medical report. I don't know if you can read this here, acute bowel obstruction, a suspected septic shock, that's cause of death. It gets more detailed. I don't know that word, but it looks like something like septicitis of small intestine. Something of small intestine. I'm not the medical person here. Steposis of small intestine. Basically what it means was she is raped to death by a pedophile gang, including Steven Spielberg, at age 12. And this was going on from early. Steven Spielberg puts in his movies subliminal messages. He regularly gets little kids into his films and wrecks them. In Hook, apparently, there was getting all these little semi-naked boys painting this adult's body that was meant to be Peter Pan when he's older. And, you know, whole islands of boys. And he would choose these sort of things. Even if you've seen the cover of Schindler's List, it's the sign of NAMBLA, the Man-Boy Love Association. It's got the adult hand holding a little child's hand. That's the cover. And it's exactly the same sign that symbolized the Man-Boy Love Association, the pedophile group in America. This creep, Steven Spielberg, even wrote child abuse, pedophilia, into Raiders of the Lost Ark. And the very first scene where the Harrison Ford playing Indiana Jones walks into the Nepal bar where his old girlfriend is. And she, 23 years old at the time, leans there and says, I wondered how long it would take before you'd walk through my door. It's been 10 years. 10 years. And he says, you knew what you were doing. She says, I was a child. Now, I don't know if you wondered when it saw. I mean, I was like, huh? What's that got to do with anything? The backstory on this is that at that very moment that this film script was being put together, and now there's the histories of it where people talk about Steven Spielberg wanted it to be that she is 11 at the time of the relationship, and they later agreed on 13. Now, 13 just happens to be the age of the girl who was raped by Roman Polanski, a very good friend of Harrison Ford and a very good friend of Steven Spielberg. And Steven Spielberg wanted to write into the script something that's got nothing to do with the story whatsoever, in support of Roman Polanski, who had fled America for living in Poland because he had been convicted of drugging and raping a 13-year-old. And to show support for him, he wrote that into Indiana Jones. Elijah Wood is just one of many who've said Hollywood is full of organized child sex abuse. And there's a whole lot of them who've exposed it. Brad Pitt's even said so. Have you noticed how many of the Hollywood people make this sort of, it's the one eye making a figure six, in fact, three with a six, basically. It's meant to be a devil's kind of symbol. William Shakespeare made the comment, hell is empty and all the devils are here. It's a quote that I've seen in a number of films, too. And there's a whole lot of people in Hollywood who make this kind of salute symbol, subliminal message. Who's heard of Sharon Tate? Sharon Tate was Roman Polanski's wife. She is murdered by Charles Manson in Roman Polanski's home. Now, Charles Manson was a friend of the family. Roman Polanski wasn't there at the time. His wife, Sharon Tate, had been in, was it Rosemary's Baby? Some serious occultic, satanic, evil film. And notice the kind of person that these pedophiles and so on go for. They go for this kind of look. They want to defile whatever is good in the world. We'll get back to that in a moment. Now, children all over the world are being prematurely sexualized. This is what you call grooming. This is what the grooming gangs do, but Hollywood does on a huge scale. The fashion industry, goodness me, Woolworths, you go into the primary school children's sections, they are sexualizing children. It's what you call grooming them. The music, the rap, the films, they're sexualizing and grooming the kids to be abused. 50 Shades of Grey glamorizes sexual violence and pedophilia. As somebody said, instead of going to 50 Shades, why don't you donate $50 to a domestic violence shelter to support the women who are the victims of this sort of way of thinking? 50 Shades of Grey glamorizes abuse, violence, and grooming a young girl for sadistic sex. I haven't seen that sort of thing yet, but I wouldn't want to see even the trailer of 50 Shades of Grey, but I believe it's absolutely disgusting. But what's even more disgusting is most of the people devouring this stuff are young women. That's Roman Polanski. And this is the 13-year-old girl he raped and was found guilty of it and even admitted, pleaded guilty, plea bargained in the court and so on. And he drugged her and raped her at a party. These are amongst the 500 Hollywood stars, producers, and so on, who signed support for Roman Polanski in a petition asking for the Attorney General of America to drop the case so that he can return back to America without any fear of prosecution. Includes people like Harrison Ford, shamefully. Harvey Weinstein. All these sort of people, even Kirsten Scott Thomas. I mean, you would have thought some woman might have felt some sympathy for a 13-year-old girl being drugged and raped. But these Hollywood stars, who so many people look up to and even love and adore, even idolize, want a sexual offender, rapist like Roman Polanski to be able to return to America without fear of prosecution. You see why we believe in smashing cultural Marxism, which is being promoted by Hollywood movies morning, noon, night. Anyone recognize this character? Jeffrey Epstein. He's another of the latest big scandal stories. This chap has his own private island. He's actually got two private islands. And he's got a jet which is called the Lolita Express, which they also call Pedo One, as opposed to Air Force One. And one of his frequent flyers is Bill Clinton, who has gone at least 26 times on this plane to his, that's Jeffrey Epstein's personal little pedo island. And as I said, this orgy island where they can do anything that's illegal anywhere else in the world, on his private island, he can do just about what he wants. And Bill Clinton's been there 26 times. This is what it looks like. It gets more bizarre. It's called Little St. James Island, which he calls Little St. Jeff Island. And you can see there's a lot of pools, a lot of palm trees, as you'd expect. This chap's a billionaire. But what on earth is this? This is his own temple. It's his own occult temple, and it gets more bizarre than this. First of all, do you notice most doors have got bolts on the inside? This has got the bolts on the outside. Isn't that strange? Those are windows on this side. But you see, there's the door. There's the windows. Now, the windows are that you can see out from the lift. The lift goes deep down into an underground area where they actually... So this is just the entrance to his orgy temple where they are reputed to do satanic rituals. The elevator machinery is actually on the top there. Now, this is where some of the most famous people in the world, something like a third or quarter or so of the House of Congress and senators have been there. He's had people, royalty. He's had all sorts of people there. This is, and this is one of Bill Clinton's favorite place to go for some reason. Now, from these and many other examples, it should be clear to us the war against slavery is not over yet. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're not going to get the truth from Hollywood nor from the secular humanist media. You won't get the truth from the Clinton News Network, the Bolshevik Broadcasting Corporation, Slime Magazine, Newspeak, Useless News and World Report, the Sunday Crimes or the Cape Crimes. Christianity has always been the greatest movement for liberty, so it should not surprise us that as Christianity is rejected and excluded from the public sphere, we're seeing an increased resurgence of paganism, including infanticide, killing of children, polygamy, perversion, prostitution, pedophilia, and slavery. What has enabled all this abuse to flourish and fester? Fester is a better word than flourish. Organized crime, organized by governments in many cases. Government corruption. And you can't emphasize that too much. Greed, lust, cowardice. Cowardice especially of Christians and of pulpits. And hypocrisy of the left. I mean, the left, who's so concerned about something that isn't really an issue, but they ignore the biggest problems and the biggest slavery and the biggest child abuse on the planet. They are, you take the left, they want parents spanking their child, lovingly disciplining a child to be made illegal and a parent to be prosecuted for being a child abuser. But a Muslim who wants to cut the child with knives for the Shiite celebration, so on, no, that's religious freedom. And of course, aborting a child is not a problem. And doing sex changes and chemically or physically mutilating your child to make sex changes to 4 and 5 year olds, that's not a problem. But in fact, prostitution of 4 year olds, that's not a problem. But a parent spanking their child for being naughty, that should be a crime. Just think of the mentality. Pornography must be legal. Blasphemy must be legal. But if you say something that could hurt our feelings, that's hate speech. You should be thrown in jail for it. Just think of the hypocrisy of the left. All of this makes this outrageous slave industry possible. Most Christians have been deceived and distracted into silence, into apathy, and therefore into complicity with this colossal crime of slavery and abuse today. Let's face it, Hollywood is one big sexual abuse industry. And even if you didn't know anything about the crimes behind the scenes, the Harvey Weinstein scandal, even if you knew nothing about that, just what they predict, what they're putting on the screen, which includes blasphemy, pornography, vile things, they've taken what used to be backstreet, shameful and illegal, and made it mainstream. It is a disgraceful silence. All that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. To love the Lord is to hate evil. If we don't hate evil, it means we don't love God that much. Now, there's some things, there's some red flags to look at for human trafficking, and they're talking about some of the things you've got to watch out for. Amongst them, amongst children, is tattoos or branding, or sudden unexplained amounts of luxury items, designer clothing, unexplainable source of income, things like this, change in their sexual behavior, their socioeconomics, their appearance, their vocabulary, their demeanor, their attitude. All of these are red flags of something going on. Multiple runaways in a short time, and so on. How can we find slaves in our own community? Watch out for these traits. A person's enslaved if they're not free to leave or come and go as they wish. Taryn observed the House of Rasputin girls could not go even to the shop at Silwood here without their pimps guiding them around, and they were completely controlled. You couldn't talk to them. They couldn't speak. And of course, they wouldn't speak English, only spoke Russian. Is under 18 and is providing commercial sex acts, that's a slave. Is in the commercial sex industry and is a pimp or manager or controller, slave master. Is unpaid, works excessively long or unusual hours, is not allowed breaks or suffers unusual restrictions at work, owes a large debt which they're never able to pay off, that's typical, was recruited through false promises concerning the nature and conditions of their work, and high security measures at their work. Just go to Maverick downtown, right next door to the main police station in Cape Town. So we've got a proven sex trafficking, proven that they were bringing Russian girls for use in Maverick, and the police station's right opposite. In fact, speaking to police said, oh, we can see the girls sunbathing on the roof during the day from the police station. Overlooks it. You go outside Mavericks where we've had demonstrations, and they've got a picture of a woman wearing horns with flames behind. I mean, how blatant is that? Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will make a stand for me against the workers of iniquity? Trafficking is the new slave trade. Here's Maverick, downtown. And we've made our stands there. We've marched to Parliament. We've protested against their slave trade. We've gone to the gates of Parliament, calling on them to pass the Trafficking in People Bill, human trafficking. You can see Taryn looking like she's been beaten and all that, but that was actually makeup and so on. Trafficking is the new slave trade, and we need to call it what it is, slavery. Here's Taryn in Livingston doing human trafficking teaching at the schools, warning them. These kids were promised to free this, that, and the other if they come forward and sign up. The next thing, she puts his iron chains and said, you've just been trafficked and you've been tricked. Next thing is, and warning them about how trafficking works and to traffic-proofed them, and of course followed with evangelism explosion presentations. We took this up to Livingston too. This is a UN free zone. Keep the United Nations out. In Claremont, there was an adultery wall set up, and we were protesting there at night and by day, and they moved, and we made stands outside there. Important, you know, Hunter used to have that kind of hair. And we were able to make a stand where they are down in, where's this? This opposite Fredescue on Main Street. Yeah. And the people who come past, this is just so important to make a stand. Well, coming up soon on 9th of August, we've got National Women's Day. And every National Women's Day for 25 years, that's what Christopher and Daniela and Andrea used to look like when we started in this. It was before Calvin could even be taking part in these things. We've been doing this 25 years. And you may recall Rob McCafferty and at Canal Walk, making the stand, distributing balloons with scriptural messages on them, getting people to take the surveys, and working in the shopping malls to alert people to how human trafficking works. Women's Day outreaches coming up next week, Friday. We're still looking for volunteers and anyone who has contacts with shopping malls. We've got some shopping malls already open, Paro, Long Beach, looking for more, and making a stand for the faith, for the family, and for our future. May God raise up a new generation of reformers, missionaries, and statesmen who, in the tradition of William Wilberforce and David Livingston, who will maintain personal integrity while combining evangelistic zeal with concern for justice. Stand fast, therefore, on the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. By God's grace, we must preach the good news to the poor, we must bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, and release for the prisoners. We must comfort those who mourn, encourage those who grieve, work for beauty instead of ashes, gladness, praise, righteousness, rebuilding civilization, the Bible, restoring God-honoring laws, and renewing Christian vigilance with everlasting joy throughout the nations. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. This is a beautiful painting, wall-sized painting in Lausanne, Switzerland, at the Palace of Justice, like the Supreme Court. And the title above is Justice Lifts the Nations. And notice how the Lady Justice in Europe always has her eyes open. In America, they're always blindfolded. The Americans like a blindfolded justice. I prefer the ones whose eyes aren't blindfolded in Europe. They hold the scales of justice like the American Lady Justice. They have a sword, but instead of the sword pointing upwards, the Swiss Lady Justice pointing a sword down to an open book that says in it, Holy Bible. And the elders and the magistrates of the city are looking to Lady Justice, who weighs the evidence and points to the principles in Scripture, while the people argue the cases in front, and the sheriff is standing with his double-handed long sword, ready to execute justice. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Christianity brought an end to slavery. Christianity brought an end to blood sports, gladiatorial sports. Christianity invented hospitals, charities, adoption instead of abortion. Rescued the children being thrown to the wolves outside the gates of the city, even though it was against the law. Christianity has always sought to make the world better. That's the only reason why widow burning was outlawed in India, and throwing babies into the baby pond in China was outlawed, and foot binding in China was outlawed, and all these other different things, head binding, killing of twins in Nigeria, and so many other things. Wherever Christianity has gone, real Christianity, it's lifted the nations. Through Bible teaching, through justice, through social action, for getting involved. And that's real Christianity. We're commanded to proclaim liberty throughout the land. So are you one of those with a clear vision of a lost world in rebellion to its creator? Are you part of God's army? Do you have the moral backbone to stand up against the immoral degeneration of our society? Do you have the spiritual courage to step out and do something about it? What can we do about it? It's a responsibility of every believer to seek God's will for his or her life by studying God's word, the Bible. And once we see the area where the Lord wants us to work, we are then responsible to boldly go and put feet to our faith. You can make a difference. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the Lord, to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. Any questions, any comments on slavery today? Yes.
So, Peter, who in South Africa, who is the ring that is involved here in South Africa? Who's
running this?
Yeah. What do you know?
Well, we know in Cape Town, Mavericks is one of them. But there's a whole lot. Terrence probably got all the right names of everyone involved in it. But behind the scenes?
What nationalities are they? Who are the rings that are running it?
We know that a lot of the pimps in Cape Town are Russian. And others are Muslim. Those seem to be the two main groups that I'm aware of in Cape Town. Now, Durban, it may be different. Again, I think Taryn would have to answer some of these questions. She's done a lot of the research. Sorry, Emma's not here right now. She's just been doing a lot of research on this in preparation for our Women's Day. From the Frontline radio program on Tuesday night, we were dealing with it. Of course, tomorrow morning on Radio Cape Pulpit, I'm going to be tackling this. We're trying to build up concern, and every few days we're posting new things on the site and sending out on what's going on here. We do know that in Britain, it seems that almost all the brothels, sex industry and so on's run by either Jews or Muslims. In America, it's overwhelmingly run by Jewish atheists, like the Harvey Weinstein type of characters and Jeff Epstein's. I mean, those are all godless Jews who obviously hate Christ and love blasphemy and pornography. The entire pornography industry in the world, I believe 96% of it is run by Jews. So who's behind it? It would seem Islam and godless Jewish people, what Jesus must have referred to when he's calling the synagogue of Satan. They seem to be the heart and soul of it. But in Cape Town, I'm not aware in Cape Town exactly who's running it, aside from the Russian mafia and Islamic groups.
When we were doing ministry in the Cape Flats, I mean, there was slavery going on there, but I mean, amongst their own people, you go to certain streets and they would tell you in this street the gang leaders are, they live here and they live there, and this block over here there are people who are enslaved, and they train them from very young. And we were doing ministry with the children. One of the pastors called one of the young girls aside, and he was moaning at her. And I asked him why later, and he said, she's 12 years old. You see, she's got a stud in her top lip now. They've just given her that because they're grooming her, because they're trying to teach her that she's a woman now. Her mother is a prostitute. She was from the age of 13. Her older sister was a prostitute from the age of 13, and she's 12, and they're busy grooming her now. So I told her she must take that thing out of her lip. She's not a woman. She must, so you get, I mean, that's going on, I mean, yeah, you know, grooming little girls from the youngest age, and mothers doing it to their own daughters, selling them into prostitution, and guys literally owning men and women. I mean, you go down the streets and you see men who are dressing up as women, and they belong to some other gang leader who's just using this guy as their entertainment and abuse.
Yeah, that's bad.
Other comments? Even in Parklands in our area, it's the same. You've got a lot of Zimbabwean girls or whatever, Congolese girls, and they're coming into our area, can't afford to pay their rent, and they're forced into prostitution. I thought all the people standing around McDonald's and that were waiting for jobs, it's actually prostitution, which we only just recently found out. It's crazy. So they're putting them on the street, making them earn their way. You know what I mean? So it's quite big in our area. There's whole houses, apparently, where these girls are kept as well.
For a long time, I've known that Main Road, Claremont, Kenilworth, was a place where prostitutes were gathering. And there was a grandmother there who used to go walking with a German shepherd and stand by these girls who in these tight little almost somethings and saying, oh, dearie, you shouldn't be out this time at night. It's quite. Let me wait here till your lift comes. And of course, nobody would stop for his grannies with a killer dog then. There's different ways of getting them to move away from your area. But it's obviously serious organized crime. My one serious experience down in Durban, I was doing outreaches with the Kwasimanta people. They wanted me to do a workshop on Christian Action. So I took a whole lot of the people down to West Street, Durban, outside Galaxy, and a whole series of these brothels there. And I positioned people for singing hymns, praying, evangelizing and open-air preaching, basically, outside each. And you'd get whole vans of people coming, looking, then driving on to the next one. But, of course, our people were there too, all the way through the point. And after positioning people to points, I walked back, and I was so disappointed. I got back, and all of our people had gone. I felt disappointed that they didn't have the stamina to last longer than an hour, and they're gone already. Well, anyway, collected me from point later. We went back to Kwasibantu, had a good night's rest. Next morning, I'm sitting in an auditorium for the Sunday service, and somebody came and said, did you know that Uncle Auntie, Uncle so-and-so, Auntie so-and-so, and this Uncle and Auntie, they spent the night in jail? The very people I'd left outside Galaxy and these other places. Next thing I heard someone else running saying, Uncle Ola wants to see you now. I mean, I was just, I didn't know they'd gotten arrested. What had happened is that the local pimp phoned up the police, who was obviously in his pay, some Indian officer, who came and arrested them all for obstructing business. Yeah, of course, no right. So Uncle Ola was blood red furious when I saw him, but fortunately not against me. He is furious against these pimps, and he wanted to clear war on them, and he gave me busloads of people every night to go, and we blockaded these places, closed down these brothels. It was a war. But one of the first nights, he sends his eldest daughter Hilda to go with me. He says, I want my daughter, who's then a teenager, to see what's going on down there. So I felt super responsible to take one of Uncle Lolo's daughters downtown to this brothel, and she is there with the camera taking pictures, which is excellent to intimidate. Nobody wants to go into a brothel while people are taking pictures and singing hymns. So out came this Russian pimp, big guy. He strode straight over. I could see he's going straight for Hilda. So I took a camera, put under my arm, and stood in front. He picked me up and threw me into West Street. I went rolling in, and West Street's like, it's a one-way racetrack. People are swerving, screaming, and I was rolling in the road trying to protect this camera. I didn't want Hilda's camera to get damaged. I didn't want to be hit by a car either. Well, interestingly enough, that same pimp who picked me up and threw me into the traffic, he got shot in the head by one of his pimps from Russia with his Tokarev, his own Tokarev, which is under his pillow. She shot him in the head in his bed in the brothel within that week. Well, I only learned about it much later. I mean, that's like our introduction to how it works here. They're really angry, aggro, vicious, nasty people. First outreach we did in Main Road Seapoint, outside a brothel, a pimp came out, and with no warning, he had a bucket filled with nauseating liquids, vile stuff, obviously included alcohol, but other stuff too, and upended on me, and I was head to toe, covered in filth and stinking like anything. So you can imagine coming home, and about 2 a.m. to my wife's, I've just been to the local brothel, and smelled like it too. That's the way it is. I mean, these people are mean. It's really an ugly battle, but because we were interfering with their business, we were interfering with their profits. I believe that the whole of South Africa, the South African Police Service, cancelled the Vice Squad decades ago, back in days of Aurelie Mandela. Cape Town's the only police force I'm aware of in Cape Town, of the Metro Police, that is, that has a Vice Squad. I'm not aware of any other vice squads in the country. And our local one under J.P. Smith did do arrests and did close down some brothels. And in fact, one of these Russian mafia criminals, and that's why we know about him so well, he got machine gunned to pieces, ventilators, cars turned to Swiss cheese, and he died, of course, while he was being prosecuted and going through trial. And we think it's because they might have been afraid that he'd make a plea bargain and implicate other people. But that all happened in Cape Town. So we've got serious big gangster efforts. We've got Nigerian crime gangs, we've got Congolese crime gangs, we've got Russian mafia, who knows what else? I mean, maybe someone else can fill in more details, but the situation is seriously bad. If you let any of these organized crime gangs into your country, it just, it wrecks whole areas, wrecks lives, wrecks families. A while ago, we had a Salvation Army man here speaking at one of our Great Commission courses, speaking about their home for battered women, serious safe house they've got with serious security, and asked, are any of the women there from Muslim marriages? He said, oh, at this moment, all of them. Now, these are Christian girls or girls from a Christian background who were in a Muslim marriage, abused and so on, and fled, and Salvation Army is protecting them. So that was one, but there are different groups. There's a group called Escape, and what are some of the other groups around here that are trying to help? I know Doctors for Life has got a 24-hour helpline in Durban, and they brought some people out of this, but it's a... in Cape Town, I only know of Escape and Salvation Army, I think, would be the only two groups I know of offhand. Anything else anyone can add?
About the British situation, I don't know, I'm sure others must have found it pretty astonishing, the lack of sort of muted reaction by the men particularly, but the local community. I don't know if they were broken. I know it's
men.
A society, but I mean...
Males, maybe, but there couldn't be any men.
Yeah, I mean, a few little girls in your society are being, you know, by aliens, being you know, and then there's no reaction. It's incredible.
I've been told in several places in Europe, the average European today would rather be raped or stabbed than called a racist. And that's what, that explains what happened in England. In fact, the statistics I saw as this expanded out, they calculated at the end, social workers and so on, that 1 million girls in Britain had been raped by Asian grooming gangs. 1 million. Without any prosecutions until people like Tommy Robinson started making such a scene in the media that forced the government to actually prosecute them. But then they locked up the whistleblower too. How's that? I mean, I thought Britain was law and order and, you know, protect. The way I was brought up was how the London bobby would hold up the traffic so the ducks could walk across the road and things like this. To think that they could do these sort of things and tolerate this. What on earth has happened? This is what happens when a country turns away from God. When an African prince went to Queen Victoria back at the heyday of the British Empire and said, what is the secret of England's greatness? Queen Victoria presented a Bible to him and said, this is the secret of England's greatness. And that's also the explanation why England is no longer great. They've turned away from God and they've turned away from his word. And you could say the same about South Africa. There was a time when South Africa was the greatest country in Africa. Greatest army, greatest economy, greatest church, greatest everything. But as we've turned away from God, you can just see whole communities going to hell in a handbasket. So I must admit, as a new Christian, converted 42 years ago in the 70s, hearing people talking about God's word and what you sow is what you reap and God's judgments on nations, I remember sitting there thinking, yes, but I mean, I like the sentiment, but we're so safe and secure. And in fact, I thought that our police, I felt sorry for our police because their job was so boring because there was next to no crime in our country as I grew up. We didn't even have to lock our doors. Didn't even have to take the key out of the ignition of the car downtown. I just grew up with, I remember thinking that, but we're so strong and so prosperous and so safe and so stable that you almost doubted that what the prophet Jeremiah and Moses said could actually take place because we couldn't be beaten. We were just so powerful. And I thought the same thing about Europe and I thought the same thing about Britain. I mean, it just seemed all these warnings in the scripture didn't seem to have teeth because we were so unassailably invincible. And I remember Colonel Breitenbach coming to on an outreach to the army in 89 when he was with Frontline and he was preaching to the commanders and so on, he said, you didn't trust in God. Your trust was in your rattles and your psalms and the cheetahs, that's the mirages, and And he said, you'd call a chaplain to pray before an op, but did you call a chaplain to thank God afterwards when he came back safe? He said, where was our hope really? Where were we really trusting him? Now, that's a person who'd gone through how many, 54 battles or so on, and in the largest airborne drop. And Colonel Breitenbach, I saw him tearing into the men at Big T Bastion, the headquarters of Swan Territorial Force in Windhoek. And he is naming names, he's pointing fingers, and you could see brigadiers and generals sort of wincing and crouching. Because Colonel Breitenbach spoke like he's throwing grenades out there, you know, verbal grenades. And at that time, even, I remember thinking, yes, good, preach it. But I still felt we were unassailable, invincible. You know, we were just so powerful and strong that there was nothing really to fear about. And it was good for God to warn us, but I doubted that things could really deteriorate that much because, I mean, who could have imagined in the 1980s that South Africa could have ever fallen to the stage? We took everything for granted, to be honest. I didn't even appreciate our Sabbath protection laws or Ascension Day or anything like that till we lost it. It's a sad reflection of the human being that until we face bad times, until we lose things, we don't really appreciate what we've got. So these warnings of God are true, which also means his promises are true. That if we repent and restore and return to God, that he will heal our land. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, forgive our sin and heal our land. So, any other comments?
Yeah, I think Peter, it's just the strategy of the gangs, etc.
Yes,
is obviously to disrupt law and order.
Yes.
And so what tends to happen is they actually infiltrate them, and they actually bind them, and so they become toothless and actually work for them.
Yes,
and not against them. And I think that's what happened in the Britain situation.
Yes. Infiltration. Since the 1920s, the Communist International, the Comintern, under Stalin's direction, targeted Hollywood and churches and theological seminaries for infiltration. And you can just see the results. They've been super successful. As the Communists said, we were the only party in town, talking about Hollywood. Literally, the only party in town. No political party was thinking of hijacking Hollywood, but Stalin had the vision of turning this new industry of Hollywood into the new church for atheism, the propagation for communism to advance. And they've been advancing Marxist agenda for ages, breaking down the family, breaking down every single taboo, breaking down every standard moral, defiling art, defiling culture, defiling music. Hollywood is one of the biggest enemies. I think education is absolutely key, but just under the importance of education is entertainment. I'm afraid those two, and you can add third one as news media, and the Marxists have targeted all those for infiltration and very successfully so. So that's what we need to expose and counter.
But if you teach people that they're a bunch of evolved animals, why can't, and you know, what's the purpose of life, of its pleasure. So why can't we pray for humans? You know, what's wrong with that?
Eat, drink, and remarry. No. Yeah, that's the kind of policy.
Yeah, it's sad that when you talk about the scandals in Hollywood, the feminist movement, for all of its big bark about protecting women and all that kind of thing, has actually really destroyed the chance that many women have for justice for being abused, because it's become so popular to just make accusations left, right, and center. Yeah. You can even have a repressed memory of somebody abusing you when you were a child, like Rosie O'Donnell,
which may or may not have even happened.
You know, which she can't remember it, but she knows it's suppressed memory, and her parents are, we don't even know what she's talking about, and she knows her parents were abusing her, and even like the new.
They've destroyed his life and his bid for the Senate, then it came out, well, it wasn't even true.
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming very popular just to accuse people of rape all the time. And, I mean, God's law is completely thrown out of the window, of course, because that demands two or three lines of independent witness before you can accept an accusation against the person. And now it's, somebody just has to make the accusation and... Mm. the guy's life is ruined. But I mean, eventually it's going to become just meaningless to say somebody raped you, because it's maybe it happened, maybe it didn't happen. I mean, we just can't trust anything anymore, and it's almost destroying justice.
Yes.
Totally.
I believe that women have never, at least in the last 100 years, been as disrespected, unsafe, abused as now. They were much safer before feminism. Feminism is anti-femininity, actually, an anti-female. And what they've done is taken away women from the position of respect and protection into a place where they're abused on every single side. But so many of them don't realize how they're cooperating with the fashions, with the music, with the vocabulary, with everything else. And they act like they're prostitutes, and then they get outraged when they're treated that way. They've accepted all the grooming, and next thing they're screaming at the very people who would actually like to protect and lift them up, Christian church and real men, and they seem to think that these liberal left who would like to abuse them at every stage, that they're their friends. We talk about Stockholm Syndrome.
But the media also want them to compete with a male, you know. You can become, you can fight in the army, you can become whatever you want, you know. You don't need to sit and look after children, okay?
Yes. Well, I mean, you know,
how does that help?
Just take what we had to do in the infantry. Pick up the man next to you with his kit and rifle and run. Now, would it be fair to expect Taryn to pick up Aubrey and run with him? With his rifle and backpack and her rifle and backpack. Or to dig a trench. It is not rational. Women were not made to be killers in the army. It's just not right. And the way you've now got of literally in America, some man holding the baby, waving goodbye, like while his wife goes off to Afghanistan with a rifle. That's a sick society. That's pathetic. I mean, could you imagine South Africa, you know, our male standing here, waving goodbye to girlfriends, getting off on a train to go off the border? I mean, what kind of sick, sordid society does that? And then, do you know how many of the women who've gone to army in America have lost their legs or their arms? They've got prosthetic limbs and so on. Because that's the thing, they've got the body armor, but the extremities get blown off. And it's horrific. I've seen a lot of women in the airport terminal and so on, traveling through America, who've obviously lost limbs and so on as a result. America's had a lot of... They've had a lot of mutilations. They've had less deaths. You look at the deaths, it's not as bad, but that's because they're all wearing body armor now. But the mutilations are colossal. It's not right to put your woman in that kind of situation. But not that I think any of these wars were just wars that anyone should have been involved in anyway. But but if you are going to send anyone off to war, it should be the men, not the women. And this is feminism. I saw something recently. I thought, okay, let me just follow this. All the freedoms that we've got today as women, which we didn't have before the feminist movement. What's number one? The right to have an abortion. And they went through all sorts of bizarre things that I was looking at them thinking, what? I mean, what woman even wants to do these things? Because there was virtually nothing there that was, including to go into combat in the army. One of the first things Mandela legalized when he came in here was that now women could go into the mines, work on the mines. Do you know how many kilometers they go down and what the conditions are like there and how they get crammed into those cages? Is this really a place you want to send women down? I mean, do you know what goes on in these mines now? It's insane. I just think at the time, one of the things that also put in there, all the thing the feminist movement on, women can now participate in boxing. Why? Just so bad. They even put in there, I think, that they're now allowed to smoke in public. Yippee. Yeah, I mean, wow. Yes, so basically you've had the sick Peter culture, what is it, pedophilia, pervert culture, shaping the West's culture, basically grooming people to be perverts, one way or the other. It's a sick society. So I think the sooner people recognize Hollywood is our enemy, they stand for everything we're against. We stand for everything they're against. we can't be friends with them. Now, praise God for the Christians out there like the Kendrick Brothers and so on who bring out alternative films. Good for them. Outstanding. Support them. But Hollywood itself, if you see it, this is a Weinstein production or something, that's a good reason not to watch it.